This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Jeff Schwartz, former NFL offensive lineman, Fox Sports, will join us, and we will put the finishing touches on the NFL season, go back to the Super Bowl one final time, get his thoughts, because the offensive line was such a big part of what went wrong for Kansas City. So we'll get Jeff's thoughts. He's very good about diving into the film, and really wanted to do another show on the Super Bowl. We spent so much time on football all year to just do one quick show after the Super Bowl, and then that's it. Forget about it. The Super Bowl is too big for that. I think it deserves a second show, even though, you know, it was such a bloodbath of a game. But, you know, like I said, the game ends and you kind of rush to the computer to get this thing recorded, get it out. There's not really time to digest what happened, to think about what happened. I definitely felt like I was rushed a little bit in terms of like just gathering my thoughts. And I always go back and listen to these shows the next day just to think, okay, could I explain this better? Did I make my point? Just to kind of see how it comes across. I wouldn't even say very rarely. I can't remember a time where I listened back like I did the other day and just completely disagreed with something I said so recently, because right after the game, I gave Mahomes pretty much a complete pass. It was the offensive line's fault. You can't blame Mahomes. I completely disagree with what I said. That was a bad take by me. And just thinking about it for a little bit longer, going back and box score and watching some of the highlights over again, taking all in. And maybe it was the fact that Super Bowl Sunday, live betting up, and you're in group chats with the text, and you're, you know, stuffing your face with food. Maybe I wasn't as locked in as I needed to be, but that's just a bad take. I mean, Mahomes is in the conversation, widely considered by a lot of people, and I've been one person to say that, as the best quarterback anyone's ever seen, or people have ever seen, the best quarterback of all time. He's in that conversation, and he's deservedly in that conversation. But when you have that standard, when you're in that company, and you're held to that standard, when you have one first down in the first half and you don't cross midfield until basically garbage time when it was over, and it was 34-0, the game was completely over. By the time you cross midfield, you can't just give him a complete pass. So I take that back. That, again, was a bad take by me. I understand the offensive line wasn't good, but he was not accurate. He threw two bad interceptions. He was all over the place. So I was too quick to give him a pass. I regret saying that. I think that was the incorrect take. And Mahomes, just going back and watching some of it again, Mahomes wasn't good. I think maybe part of it too is you're just so used to, well, it's Mahomes. Of course, it's not his fault because he's so good, which is not like it's not the right way to approach it, but you're just so used to him. I mean, he does not play bad games, really. This was a bad game, but and people point to the Bucs Chiefs one in 2020. He was not bad. That was one where there were drops, there was pressure. This one was way more on him than the Bucs one. The second half of the Bengals 2021 AFC title game, he was really bad, but you can count him on one hand, and you don't need all the fingers to figure out or to, you know, recollect on games where he was really bad in big spots. But Sunday night was one of them. Where Mahomes was not good. So that was one where you go back and you look and you feel differently a couple days later. I meant to mention this on Sunday, and this is neither here nor there, but I had no idea. I'm sure a lot of people didn't either. You can't onside kick in the third quarter. Now, it probably didn't come up, because if it did, first of all, if it's a situation where you need to onside kick in the third quarter, it's that lopsided. Any game that's on a Sunday at 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock, we're probably not watching or paying that much attention to, so probably never, you know, came to the forefront of our mind. But what a strange rule. I hate the whole kickoff thing in general. Is a disaster. The landing zone, can't onside, you have to declare. It was much better the way it used to be. I understand there's some safety concerns and they agree to it for a reason, I guess, but I would much prefer they just go back to the old world. You can't onside kick in the third quarter. I mean, it's just way too restrictive with these rules. Add the excitement of the onside kick, bring it back to where it was reasonable to recover. I think everything across the board has been a failure, and it's really, say, hurt the game, but I don't think any of those changes were for the positive. On Philly, going back to Philly here, the champion, the rightful champion, an outstanding team. You know, you always hear it's a copycat league. So a team wins and the other teams are going to emulate what they do. I don't know what you can emulate from Philly other than just being really smart and having a ton of really good players on both sides of the ball. And they're a smart organization. They're well run. The fact that they won two Super Bowls in 8 years, and this is one with just a whole new coach, whole new quarterback, a whole different thing, it shows how good they are. Just picking the talent. And it's a team that's just loaded on both sides of the ball. And I think one thing you could say that's like the ultimate compliment, every time they trade for a player, sign a player, draft a player. You get this reaction from team from fans of other teams that why couldn't we get that guy? Why couldn't we get AJ Brown or Saquon Barkley or Jalen Carter? They're just smart. They're well run, and I would expect they're going to be right back in the mix next year at least. They're definitely going to be in the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl. We know it's hard, and it always feels like after a team wins, they're going to be right back. They're the best team this year. They're going to be the best team next year. It's not always that easy, but just looking at the roster, they are pretty well set up to be in the mix with you can read the odds here. Detroit will be really good, but they do lose their coordinators. And we'll see what they are defensively. Eagles 6-1, Chiefs, Bills, and Ravens 7-1, Lions 9-1, 49ers 15-1, Commanders 18-1, Packers and Bengals also 18-1, Rams 28-1, Chargers 28-1. I'll kind of draw a line there. And the Rams, when you look back, the Rams played the Eagles really tough. Two fumbles in their own territory when they were down by one in the fourth quarter. That's about as tough as anyone played Philly. I know Gil Alexander brought up Washington the other day as a sleeper. He liked it 18-1. I still don't think they're good enough defensively. I know you say, they beat Philly. They play them tough. They beat Philly when Hurts was hurt, and it was 21-7 when he left the game. So I don't know that I buy Washington. And if you don't think Washington's going to win the division, that means you have to go through the long road of road game, and neutral. So four non-home games, you would think, if you're the 5, 6, or 7 seed, if you're one of the wild cards. Lions are going to be live. We'll see what they can do defensively and get some of their guys back. They look like the best team for halfway through the year. Remember, they were killing everybody, killing Jacksonville, killing Tennessee, scoring 40, 50 points, basically like a college team when they play these mismatch, when they play like Mercer or something. They were just embarrassing teams, but the injuries got to them. They peaked too early. They'll be in the mix next year. I don't know if I'd bet them at 9-1. That's still a good division. Although Minnesota, I don't know that Minnesota can duplicate what they did. They're going to probably lose Darnold and play McCarthy. I actually thought about, would they dare consider Rodgers just, hey, let's see if he's got one more run in him indoors. If we want to actually win a championship, he'd probably give us a better chance, but they're probably not going to go that route. They picked McCarthy high. They're all about the value and O'Connell developing these guys. So I don't think they would go that route, but it did cross my mind. The team that jumps out to me, I think San Francisco at 15-1 could get back on track just because this was a year where all of the games caught up to them. They were in the Super Bowl, an NFC Championship game, and Super Bowl again, and they were just out of gas. They were hurt. Now, I know Debo looks like he's going to go somewhere else, Debo Samuel. Who knows if McCaffrey can ever be McCaffrey again. So, hey, if those two guys aren't going to either return or be themselves, then it's not the same 49ers team. And Purdy, I think even though he's a good player, we saw there are some limitations, but that's still a really good roster, both sides of the ball. At 15-1, would you be shocked if the 49ers are 13-4 and back in the NFC title game? I would not. So that might not be a bad one. But bottom line, I think Philly is in good shape here to you can never say, they're gonna win the Super Bowl again. But they're gonna be in the mix. They're talked about all year. I know they're really good both sides of the ball. I don't see anyone from the NFC South. Packers have to prove something before we can put them on that level. Like I said, the Rams, Stafford's a year older. I'm not sure. That's a good organization. McVay's a good coach. They always do a little more than you expect, but to actually win the Super Bowl, I'm not sure. This is last year they lost in the first round. This year they lost in the second round. That feels kind of like their ceiling. I know they could have won this year, but they don't feel like a Super Bowl team. And with Stafford getting older, that seems like a stretch. Minnesota, no. Dallas, no. Well, Dallas at 60-1 for all the talent. Dallas, not that long ago, they went 12 wins. I know it's not the same team and they've lost pieces here and there, but 60-1, not a horrible number. I don't know that I see a great bet. I think probably of all of these, honestly, Philly at 6-1 because I think they're going to be right back in the mix, NFC title game or back in the Super Bowl. If you tell me I'm just going to put Philly in my pocket at 6-1 and bank it, sort of like you've done with the Chiefs all these past years. Couldn't argue with it. I would not go back to the Chiefs. I just kind of feel, and I'll talk to Jeff Schwartz about this coming up. The Patriots with Brady had a lull where they went 10 years without winning a title. Now, they made Super Bowls, but they didn't win one. Lost the Giants a couple times, lost in the AFC title games. Don't you get the sense eventually there's going to be a lull with the Chiefs? Because if there is no lull and they just continue to do what they've been doing, that means they're basically going to be in the Super Bowl every year. Mahomes is in the league and Mahomes is going to play in 13 or 14 Super Bowls pretty much. At some point, they're going to have a year or have a stretch of years where they not only don't win a Super Bowl, but aren't in the Super Bowl, which is crazy to think, but it's crazy to think they're just going to make it every year too. So I would actually stay away from the Chiefs. That roster needs some repairs. They don't have a great receiver. We saw their flaws with the offensive line. Their backs, they kind of pieced together. Their defense was really good last year. It was not that good this year. It was mediocre. They just don't have a great player. They don't have a dominant player. Mahomes is great. Kelce used to be great. Chris Jones is very good, bordering great. There's not a lot of them, though. It's not like they have that receiver you have to double. Kelce's not Kelce anymore. The running backs are just average guys. It's kind of a mediocre rot. It really, I know it's playing the results that I wouldn't have said this a week ago. It is kind of amazing. They went 15-1, isn't it? I know they got lucky in a bunch of games and find ways to win. It is remarkable. I mean, it's completely playing the results based on Sunday, but you just look at the roster. It's not, they got a good coach, good defensive coordinator. I get why they're good. It's just they were not 15-1 good. And we went over the games where the ball bounced their way. They blocked a kick against Denver. Baltimore's got the toe on the line. They were Cincinnati could have gone either way. There was at least five. The Raiders had them beat and fumbled at the end. Or not had a beat, but had a reasonable field goal attempt to win it. There were a good handful of games, like there always are in the NFL, but they seem to get all of them go their way. And that that luck eventually did run out, obviously, in the Super Bowl, where luck was not a factor. Well, luck's not a factor when you're down 34-0 and you're down five scores. So I wouldn't go back to the well with the Chiefs. I think that roster needs a little bit of a makeover. So Eagles at 6-1, I don't mind. 49ers at 15-1, not terrible. I don't see a great number. If you're looking for a deep, deep long shot, it's crazy because they never win, and you can laugh at this pick. But Dallas at 60-1. They got a quarterback. They got Lamb. See, Parsons. I mean, they've got a trio. But now you could say the rest of the team, it's top-heavy, and they're just – they don't have the talent. But it's not that long ago. They were right in the mix with all of these teams. And I think they were co-favorites. It's crazy to sound. They were co-favorites with Philly to win this division in July, August. So – things change quickly. Things absolutely change quickly. But if you told me you bet Dallas at 60-1, actually, are they going to win? No, they never win. So from that perspective, it's, you know, you don't want to make a bet you're not going to win. But I'm surprised they're 60-1. I guess that's the best way to put it. I am surprised they're 60-1. I would think 30-40-1, especially a public team. They have a quarterback. So I do think that number's a little long. If you, bet the Dallas Cowboys to win it all. Great advice. That is certainly going to happen. That is certainly enough. I just think that number is longer than I expect. Falcons 65-1 with Penix, probably not. Although, you know, Penix could give him a bump. Seahawks at 65-1. I don't see a great number in terms of these long shots. And Washington was like 300-1, and they got two wins away from doing it. But being two wins away from doing it and actually doing it is a different thing. So, I don't have anything else to add. But should be a fun offseason. We'll still continue to do football, draft, trades. We'll do it here and there, but going to be more baseball, college basketball, NBA, but we will put the finishing touches on the football season. Jeff Schwartz, Fox Sports, NFL offensive lineman, former NFL offensive lineman. That is next. This is a Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back, and he is the only person to play in the NFL and appear on the Should Have Bet More podcast, Fox Sports, Bear Best. It is Jeff Schwartz. Jeff, what's up, man? How's it going? Football season has officially ended.
Yeah. I'm glad you got my name right. That seems to be a problem in the podcasting radio world today. So, good start to the show. I'm good, man. Look, I was talking to another player I saw on Sunday afternoon before the game starts, walking back from the stadium, and we were both like, "We're sad football's gone, but we're glad to just like take a deep breath now." You know, like. Because it's this grind, like, for months and months at a time. And obviously, we love the sport. And I'd watch it every weekend. But it's okay to take, like, a two-week break before the combine starts, just mentally. You watch a film of this game, which I'm still making my way through. And then just a little bit of a mental break before we start, obviously, again, combine talk and draft and free agency and stuff like that. So I'm not glad for it to be over, Will, if that makes sense, but like I'm okay with mentally getting away from ball for a couple weeks.
Let's, now that we've had a couple days to let the dust settle from the Super Bowl, we'll get to the Eagles, but let's just kind of assess the damage from the Chiefs standpoint. Yeah. When you're going back and watching this, is it just the Chiefs couldn't block them and it's that simple? Is there blame to Mahomes? Is there blame to Andy Reid? What do you see when you dig through the film?
Well, it's never that simple. That's why football is fun, right? It's rarely just one thing. And that's what happens when you have a bad game. It was a bad game. Like, it's funny because, Will, 2 weeks ago was like, the Chiefs finally scored over 30 points. How good is this offense going to be? And then now they stink and it's like, fire everyone. I mean, Chiefs fans are like, at the point, like, we need a new play caller. I'm like, deep breath. Take a deep breath, everyone. What happens is when things go wrong, Will, it's rarely one thing. If it was one thing, they'd fix the one thing. I thought they came into the game playing the way that we talked about. They were not going to run the football. And in hindsight, They probably should have tried to run the football because Philly said we're going to play too high. I believe I was Robert Mays of the Athletic at the Athletic Football Show. I was listening to him this morning, and he said 54% of Eagle snaps were cover four, which means they're not trying to stop the run. Two high safeties, right? And they just took away everything the Chiefs wanted to do. And the Chiefs had no answer, had no counter. Then on top of that, they couldn't really block. And it wasn't as bad as the numbers will. Like, there were times Mahomes just looked skittish. And so this is sort of just snowball effect where the plan probably wasn't great. No one was open. They weren't blocking. What happens is when that happens, when something different happens on every play, then you get FUBAR, right? Like then you get to where you're at, where you drop back and it's like a prayer. Like, I hope it works out well this time. And that's where they're at. Cause there were opportunities for Mahomes to find guys, but he was skittish. There were times when guys were open and Mahomes got hit. Like so there was no making up the difference. Once I think they got down 17-0, as much as the announcing crew on Sunday tried to make it seem like 34-0 was doable. It was just an ass kicking, man. The Eagles just kicked their ass. They were well prepared. They played great defense, and they dare the Chiefs to beat them running the football, and the Chiefs just wouldn't do it.
One of the hardest thing I think for fans is we're sitting home. We don't have the all 22. We're just sitting on TV. We don't have trained eyes to know like when it's the offensive line's fault, when it's the quarterback's fault. I kind of after the game, just immediate after that, I was like, oh, Mahomes wasn't his fault. But look, I kind of wish I took that back because I wish I could get a redo with that because he had one first down at halftime. He didn't cross midfield till middle of the third quarter. What would you put in terms of like a letter grade for how Mahomes played and how much of this was on him?
It wasn't good. Well, D, C, it's hard because once it started going downhill, there was no stopping it. But there were some moments where, look, the first pass to Kelce, like that was a second window throw. He should have made that throw. That was well behind the throw he can certainly make. But then Hopkins dropped a long gain. Like, so, he converts that one. The Hopkins catches the pass, and all of a sudden, it's a much different ball game. Probably even the second interception. I mean, guy's open; he's going to hit Hollywood Brown for a first down. He gets hit in the back, and it's intercepted. So, I think he would tell you he probably would grade himself as an F. I don't think an F was there, but man, the numbers are crazy, right? Like worst EPA half, one of the worst of ever in the last 15 years. I mean, it was really bad in the first half. I will tell you, though, that last touchdown pass to Worthy was good for, I think, a bunch of us who had the over, but especially you had that alternate over, Will. That was awesome for you. That's what the Chiefs offense needs to have next season. They have to be able to do that, right? Which is, like, just rear back and throw the ball as far as you can, because without that, teams just are able, like the Eagles, to have a good pass rush, a good secondary, just to sit on all these underneath routes and make it really difficult for the quarterback.
If this were like baseball and basketball and it were a 7-game series, first of all, what would the line be for game two and how would the rest of the series play out? Eagles in 4, Eagles in 5?
It would be probably Eagles favored by 7, right? Probably the second time.
Could you move a game 8 points off one game? That's not how it usually goes.
I think what would happen, or 6, with 6, you think?
I hadn't really thought about my own question, Mike. I had to guess I'd say Eagles by 3 just because it's only one data point. As bad as it is, it's still just one game.
Yeah.
So they'd be probably crushed with Chiefs money.
Yeah, correct. I mean, look, so in a lot of these games, right, you can't rely on turnovers, right? So let's just say the Chiefs, the two interceptions that led to 14 points are not there. Now the Eagles have 26 offensive points, right? So it's a little bit different game. I think they would put Joe Tooney at left guard and put Humphreys at left tackle and just try to live with that alignment for the Chiefs. One thing that's really hard to talk about because Travis Kelce is a Hall of Famer and the best pass catching tight end of all time. People will argue obviously that Gronk is maybe a better overall tight end with his blocking over the years, but he's just older now, and you're able to just put hands on him and he can't get off press, which we saw the last couple of weeks. So that has changed the Chiefs offense because you rely on obviously a big part of what you do on offense is having Kelce available. And he just wasn't the same player the last month of the season. And really, he remember the first 2 weeks when Rashee Rice had like 30 targets, that was the plan. And then Kelce had like 140 targets, Will, this year. Like the plan was not to ride Kelce because he's old. Like that wasn't the plan. And he looked it by the end of the season, pretty worn out. So, that changes what your plan can be when, you're basically best target and most reliable target isn't the same player anymore.
Last one on the Chiefs. I think there's this perception with the Patriots that with Brady, they basically just won every year, won every other year. They had a lull. They had a 10-year stretch where they didn't win any Super Bowl. They made a couple, but they didn't win any. Do you sense, just like law of averages, there's going to be a lull? I guess the opposite of that. If there is no lull, that means Mahomes basically is, you know, is in the Super Bowl pretty much every year. So what do you see here for the next few years? I mean, is this just going to be a foregone conclusion where they're back next year or not so easy?
Jeez, the Mahomes discussion, Will, is so dumb. I mean, like, he's played in 5 Super Bowls and won 3 of them in 7 years as a starter. Like, come on, everyone. He's still a good football player. Remember Tom Brady lost as a 14-point favorite and scored 14 points in 2007? Like, all these guys lose. It happens. The Chiefs have work to do on the roster, right? Everyone's going to scream to draft a tackle. I don't think they're going to do that, quite honestly. They have options on the board, but they're going to have a post-Kelsey offense, essentially, right? Justin Reed's a free agent. Chris Jones is getting older. They need to sort of revamp the pass rush, in my opinion. Nick Bolton, the middle linebacker, probably going to walk. Trey Smith is going to walk. So it'll be a different team next year. I always thought 2025, Will, was a reset transition year anyways, right? They went all in to win the championship this year. And I would imagine that it's a couple more seasons to retool the roster. But Brett Veach has done a good job drafting, right? So they've been able to do that. I would imagine maybe next year is a pullback year. But again, I mean, you have to think about the postseason. Like, are you trusting the Bills right now and the Ravens and the Bengals? I mean, who are you trusting in the postseason? You trusting Justin Herbert? So it's like one of the things where it comes to postseason again, even if the Chiefs go 10-7, I'm not picking against them.
No, totally agree. The Eagles perspective. They look, outstanding team, just loaded roster. You always hear it's a copycat league. When a team wins a championship, other teams are going to try to emulate what they do. What can teams emulate with the Eagles here other than just having a really good team, really smart people running the organization? It's almost like every time they draft a player or trade for a player, you have other fans saying, oh, why couldn't we get that guy? That's a good move. So I don't know. What can people take away from the Eagles blueprint here?
I mean, drafting big, strong, fast football players in the trenches tends to work, right? You know, they have a Hall of Fame right tackle, maybe the best right tackle to ever play. They have a left tackle who never played football before. I mean, you're not going to find many of those. They lose Jason Kelsey and put Cam Jurgens in there, who's, you know, serviceable, obviously, you know, not as good as Kelsey, but not bad. Landon Dickerson, they got Mekhi Becton, who everyone sort of, you know, said could never play ball at the level that he played this season. They bring him in and play guard. They find a Zach Bond in free agency, right, for a one-year deal. I mean, they get Jordan Davis, and they get Carter and Nolan Smith, and I mean, they traded for Huff, right? He's not even playing. He was inactive for this game. You look at what they did with Mitchell and Cooper DeJean and bringing Slay over. They just hit home runs, and they develop talent, man. They get these defensive linemen. They develop them. Offensive linemen, they develop them. They're the blueprint, by the way, for sort of the addition of a running back to a team that's really good. You know, I make this pushback a lot when people say to, like the Giants should have kept Barkley. The Giants suck. Right. Barkley is wasted in New York. His talent is best used in Philadelphia. Like that is, you know, Christian McCaffrey's talent is best used in San Francisco versus Carolina. Like you, the situation has to be well, and they have a great situation for Barkley to hit home runs with Brown and Smith. They just identify these players that work really well for what they want to do. And it's a really, really huge roster, man.
So they just have a better eye for talent is pretty much what it comes down to.
Yeah, and development. I mean, like you can draft players that are talented, but you have to develop them too. And however they do it, and they have, by the way, they have different coordinators, right? Kellen Moore just was with the Saints, obviously, a different guy last year as well. Vic Fangio, how long will he coach for? And previous to him, Jonathan Gannon was there. So they keep doing it through coaches and through coordinators. And it's really impressive. And give Howie Roseman credit, right? I mean, he's not really, didn't grow up in the business as a personnel guy, but obviously he knows what he's looking for. And it's important, Will, in my mind, to match, obviously, the talent you acquire to the offense or defense that you play. And they've done a really good job of that.
You know, it'll be interesting years from now to look back at this 3-year stretch with the Eagles. Losing the Super Bowl, could have easily won. The next year, they're 11-1. And then after that, they win the Super Bowl. And caught in between. People are going to look at the end of last season and say, how did this team lose? Was it 5 or 6 games to end the season? They got killed in Tampa. That, looking back with the Super Bowl appearance and the Super Bowl win sandwich in between, that is just a very strange end to last season. Something had to be going on. I don't know what, but just really bizarre when you look at the rest of the results.
Yeah, look, sometimes you have those rotten years. I mean, sometimes you're losers who you can't prepare, obviously. That's what I was told. A Panthers team was, how dare Brian, don't dog Brian St. Pierre. Come on. Yeah, look, I think that something happened. We're going to get that article on The Athletic or Philly Inquirer, that ESPN, something like that. That's going to be like the Week 5 team meeting that changed it all this year. Right. Because you're right. They ended last year poorly, started 2-2. And then the team just had this emotional maturity about them after that, right? They grew. Nick Sirianni, too, I think, look, he seems sometimes emotionally immature, but that got sort of put away the back half of the season, right? We didn't see the outburst with fans and, you know, who cares? A.J. Brown argues with them. All wide receivers are divas, Will. But I think you just saw that they had just emotional maturity. They just developed over the year just a way to play and coexist, and it paid off with a championship. And Sirianni, look, I mean, I still think sometimes he looks like a buffoon out there and does some things that I don't agree with, but you cannot deny the results. He has won a lot of football games. He's been in 2 Super Bowls now. He's won a Super Bowl. He lost another one by 3 on essentially the last play of the game. He has done a fantastic job of building that winning culture in Philly.
Yeah, and they get the little stuff too. The whole like, hey, we only need to get 9 yards, because once we get a yard shy on 3rd or 4th and 1, we can just kind of tush-push it. That stuff like that. That now they have the advantage with the offensive line. It hurts that other teams don't. But yeah, I think that it's I wouldn't say he's like a great coach, but this idea that, you know, he's an idiot or a bad coach, that that certainly changes in one night, and it did the other night. He is now a Super Bowl champion, 2 Super Bowl appearances. So yeah, it's hard to talk down on him too much. Anything for next year where you have a team in mind to make a leap? This year's Washington or Minnesota, any sleeper without obviously a draft, a free agency, we have a lot to get to.
Sleeper team. There's not a lot of like rosters that just need a quarterback, you know, like Washington sort of just, what Washington did that I think, you know, we've talked about a little bit is they did a really good job of just getting sort of the mid-level free agent, right? And using those players for success. I mean, look, if the Browns figure out quarterback, they're still a talented team, right? Play a tough division. That feels like a possibility for sort of a bounce back season. Look, do the Niners count as a team like that? I mean, they're the Niners.
I think there's value. I think I saw 15, 18 to 1. I think there's value. I could see them bouncing back.
Yeah. Otherwise, not. I mean, look, in the AFC, I don't think the Chiefs will be the most talented team next season. I'm not even sure they might even be in the top 2 or 3. But again, I mean, the AFC South, no one's beating them in the postseason. Maybe the Chargers get some wide receivers, but again, you have to trust them in the postseason. Maybe Denver's better, but you still, I think Bo Nix will be out of playing situation. You know, Buffalo, Baltimore, the Bengals have made the playoffs in two postseasons. I just think that the Chiefs, even though they're going to have roster changes, will still be looked at as the favorite in the AFC. I don't know why not.
Do you think it will be a offseason with a lot of transaction, big names moving, or kind of status quo, like a Stafford? I don't know, any other kind of splash moves?
I mean, so the Stafford thing is because the Giants hired a friend of a family member of his. Is that what I heard?
I think that was it. And look, Stafford's a good player. He's probably going to the Hall of Fame. You're going to put him at this stage of his career, outdoors, windy stadium, behind Correct. A bad team. That's a disaster of a fit.
It feels like a really bad, even for him, like, no, I'm not doing that. I don't think Myles Garrett's going anywhere before the draft. So I think that's I just don't think that's happening. I think he wants to go to Dallas because his whole sort of base is there in Dallas. But why would the Cowboys trade for him? The NFL is moving, I guess, more towards that. You know, some trades every now and then that sort of come out of nowhere. Can Mark Williams be traded still? Can he go to who's available? Cowboys available for Mark Williams? How about that, Will?
That was the Hornets.
How do you contest a physical? Like, does that mean the trade goes through? If the NBA said the Lakers did like a bad physical, I don't know.
Yeah, and you're referring to the Hornets trading Mark Williams to the Lakers for a couple young players' picks, and then 3 days later, I think, yeah, full 3 days later. By the way, we're going to need a redo. Everyone's going back to the original teams, failed physical. So, yeah, that was a strange story. You don't see that too often in a sports landscape where we see all this stuff. That was a weird one.
So I don't know. I don't know who is. There's always going to be a surprise one. I think Cooper Kupp gets cut, by the way, doesn't get traded. He's older and making $20 million a year. He's not getting paid. You know, the Cowboys, interesting. The Cowboys, you know, are they going to decide to be bad? Are they going to trade Micah Parsons? Are they going to pay Micah Parsons? Like, there's a chance, I mean, maybe that takes, you know, they think all that out there. I think there was a report that they actually have tried trading him already, have thought about doing that. There's always one surprising quarterback move, it feels like, every offseason. You know, is Darnold going to get paid by someone? Are the Raiders going to use him as a bridge for a couple of years? Is Aaron Rodgers, is he a candidate for –
That's a good one. Like, where do you think Rodgers goes? I was going
to
ask.
Okay, so let's think this out. To me, I think the Raiders for a year make some sense as they bridge to someone else if they can't get a quarterback this season. Otherwise, not many options, because he's not going to want to be a backup. He's not going to want to compete for a starting job. So where are those teams? Not many of them, right? The Raiders are one. Well, he's not competing with Aiden O'Connell for a starting quarterback job.
So he might. Your guess is what? He just hangs it up and says, you know what? It's been a good run. I'll see
you. No, I would imagine someone.
Cleveland?
Oh, geez. Going from, I mean, yeah, I guess Cleveland could be one of them.
It's like you said, him going to a rebuilding team like a Tennessee or something, that doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't think Minnesota would be interested. Yeah. I actually thought of that, like the Favre path of, hey, as long if you can somehow get a league average quarterback with Rodgers, with his experience, you're going to put him indoors. He's motivated, great weapons, but I just don't think Minnesota would do it, and I don't think they should.
Do you want to root for him, though? Like, do you want him on your team? Are you going to be like, that's a move that gets us over the hump?
It's an interesting question. I don't think it's a good move, but I would say, like, just in a vacuum, if your only goal, if you're not looking at the future, developing McCarthy, all the stuff you invested in McCarthy, big picture, forget the big picture for a second. Just can we win this? What's our best chance to win the Super Bowl this year? It would probably be Rodgers, and just hope you can get like a B+ version of what he was a few years ago. I know that's a long shot, but that's still, I think, more likely than like McCarthy just coming out of nowhere. He's got the banged up knee, first year playing. Like, McCarthy holding up the trophy next year seems far fetched too.
But you and not you. I mean, the Vikings invested in McCarthy. You have to play him and see what you have. I mean, you don't want to go into year three and know nothing about McCarthy. So, like, you just got to play McCarthy. I mean, that's you drafted him. You had a good Sam Darnold year when McCarthy was hurt, and you basically wasted a year of development. Other team, maybe, now I'm thinking about it, like, I guess if Michael Penix is good, the Falcons can sort of come out of nowhere, right? I mean, out of nowhere is probably a strong word to say, but they can be pretty good if Michael Penix can play well.
No, I totally agree. I totally agree. I mean, they need more on defense, but I've never been a Cousins guy. I think that he's just some guys just find ways to lose games. He just always does less with more. He's not a bad player. He's a solid player. It's just everywhere he goes. Like, Minnesota got much better when he left. Minnesota was disappointed when they got him. It's just you get what you ask for when you sign Cousins. You know what you're signing up for.
You know exactly what you're getting. And so, again, I mean, teams still do it, though. They get intoxicated by some of the success he's had, but to me, he's just an average quarterback now. And I
just lack of options too. It's just, what else are we
going
to do?
Correct. Yeah.
All right, Jeff, appreciate it. Oh, last one. Who goes first in the draft? We're not going to hold you to it, but any idea who goes first?
Jeez. Are we assuming Tennessee keeps the pick?
I'm not assuming anything. I'm leaving it open-ended, and you.
I think it ends up being Cam Ward, but maybe not the Titans.
Oh, okay. So who, Giants or something like that trades up?
Yeah, I think that in this day and age, these quarterbacks, I mean, when's the last year we didn't have a quarterback go one?
A couple years ago, was it the Hutchinson draft? Who went? Walker. So that was 2022.
Yeah,
it's a disaster of a pick too.
I'm thinking of who went before that. I mean, obviously 2013. I remember that year, but like, I think quarterbacks are just so valuable that it's hard to them to go. No, and there's only really there's three choices in my opinion. There's, you know, it's either Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, or Cam Ward, and you could probably bet on all three of them, and make some money at some point. Remember, guys, the draft odds are going to move violently with every tweet combine.
Oh, I know.
So don't freak out. Don't like. So I already have a Shedeur Sanders in my pocket. I'll probably add as we go along here. I don't think it should be Shedeur. I'll probably have to try to get rid of that at some point. But you know, it's going to be one of those three, I feel like, and maybe someone will trade up and whatnot, but that's what I expect to happen.
Jeff, appreciate the time, man. What you got time off now? What's up next for you?
I don't know, man. Sleep. I'm just something. I don't know why I'm so tired. I mean, I had a lot of gumbo. Maybe all that salt.
Well, you were down there with New Orleans with Bear, and you were, let's face it, you were doing a lot of the heavy lifting, a lot of the legwork. He's just, he's the pampered superstar, so you have to put the work in, and your body's paying the price.
You know what's wild, man, is we know this. Bear's the exact opposite of that, but he should be treated like that, and he does not sometimes, and it kind of baffles me. Like, it just does. Like, I get where I'm at in the pecking order of companies. I know where I'm at, and I'm fine with that. But, like, Bear is – like legit on television every week for Big Noon Kickoff. Like he's like a different caliber of talent than I am. And maybe I drag him down a little bit. Maybe it's all of us. We just drag him down to just lowly podcaster.
Anything is possible, I suppose. Jeff, get some rest, man. Appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. Thank you to Jeff Schwartz. Appreciate you guys listening. Rate, review, subscribe. See you Friday.